Ooh, that's big. That is big.
Glenn's ball opening the face. Dan Christian, dangerous.
Whoever's got the ball in their hand or the bat in their hand, you know that you can grab the game by the balls with the confidence of every bloke standing around you.
Unbelievable catch. Daniel Christian, take a bat.
Bowling to Voges. Oh, he's brilliantly caught. Brilliantly caught. One of the most dramatic mornings Test cricket you'll ever see.
This is the talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman, and this week's podcast is another one that crosses the nations and the time zones as we talk to Outlaws T20 captain Dan Christian from Australia. Christian's set to return for his sixth summer in green and gold, and he told us how he's currently enjoying his longest break from cricket for a decade, but is still keen to keep chasing the summers around the globe for as long as he can.
Really enjoying the break already, and I'll keep enjoying it, I think. But I've absolutely loved my time here, and when the opportunity arose, keen as mustard to take it.
The Aussie recalls his memories of playing in the recent bushfire game and sharing a dressing room with his cricketing idols.
Sitting in the dressing room afterwards was probably the most fun. They all just sat around and had a drink and just told stories of when they played with and against each other. So I was just sitting in the corner just having the best time.
And we hear from Stuart Broad on his love of Trent Bridge as the hometown hero signs a two-year contract extension with Notts.
I'm delighted to be able to sign for another 2 years because I certainly can't ever envisage myself wearing a different badge apart from the Nottingham one.
But first, let's hear from Dan Christian on why returning to Trent Bridge was always top of his list for 2020.
Obviously pretty disappointed with the way the semi-final went for us on finals day, but I've absolutely loved my time here, and when the opportunity arose, keen as mustard to take it.
Is there a bit of unfinished business? Is that a bit of a crude way to look at it after last year?
A little bit, yeah. I think we played some fantastic cricket throughout the year, and we really peaked at the right time. I think we had that unbelievable performance in the quarter final at home against Middlesex, and then felt like we were really playing some good cricket leading into that semi final. We played good cricket throughout that semi final up until the last 20 minutes or so.
How's your winter been? I know that Renegades campaign wasn't quite what you would have wanted, but there was a bit of a turnaround towards the end, which sort of seemed to coincide with you taking over the captaincy as well.
I had a bit of a rough time after that semi-final, actually. I think I've lost something like 17 games in a row. I lost the semi for Notts, and then my whole campaign at Johannesburg, we lost seven there, and then I lost the first nine at the Renegades as well. So it was a pretty rough few months for me, but I suppose that swings and roundabouts. I've been lucky enough to have so much success in the past and winning seven titles and having success all around the world, and then that's mother cricket coming back to bite me.
A couple of outlaws in that BBL squad as well, Harry and then obviously Samick coming in a bit later on. What do you make of them out there this time round?
Yeah, really disappointing for Harry that he wasn't able to play as much of a role as what he did the year before. His hamstring unfortunately went after those first couple of games, and he wasn't able to, like I say, wasn't able to play that same role that helped us be so successful the year before. But Samet did a fantastic job. He came in with some fantastic cameos that we've seen at Notts, and bowled as well as he always does too. So it was really pleasing for me to see him do so well for the Renegades, having seen him do that job for Notts in the past.
So as we sit here now, what, a couple of months out, maybe a little bit more from the Blast, the Blast for Notts is your next competitive cricket action, is it?
Yeah, it is. This is going to be my biggest break in probably 10 years or so. So no Pakistan Super League for me or IPL this year. So really enjoying the break already, and I'll keep enjoying it, I think. I'll probably start getting back into stuff probably mid-April give myself about a six-week lead-in, and then come over probably 3 weeks early and play a couple of second-team games and get around the boys and train with them. Looks like they've had a fantastic pre-season. I've been talking to Morsey a little bit over text and Mull as well. The boys look like they're really raring to go and really enjoying themselves.
Yeah, what have the boys been saying about pre-season? I know it's in some ways been quite a physical one. There's been quite a lot of demands on them in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it has looked like it's pretty tough. But great to see. I mean, that's what pre-season's all about. That's why I've been avoiding them for the last 15 years. It looks a bit too hard for me at my age. But no, the boys look like they're going really well and working really, really hard, and I'm sure that'll stand them in good stead come season time.
Yeah, I suppose there's a lot to be said for the way you're going about the cricketing lifestyle, isn't there? I look over my sort of right shoulder at the minute. It's windy, it's rainy, it's not like looking like a Trent Bridge T20 nights. And behind you looks glorious at the minute.
Yeah, it's there you go, sun's out. It's the end of the day, the sun's out, but it's the weather's been fantastic here as it normally is in Australia at this time of year. So I'll just keep chasing the summers as long as I can.
It's a bit of a squeak in the background, by the way. Sorry, I picked something up then. Have you got a pet in there or?
No, pets, just some birds, just
some
a bit
birds
of wildlife,
outside.
Mate. It's just Australia. There's kangaroos in the yard next door and there's koalas in the trees over there, so that's just how it is.
We don't get exciting sounding wildlife, do we, over here? It's like a wasp or something, so I'm not fucking used to it. But it's sort of time for us over here to be starting to think about Blast and T20 being the next big thing. I suppose I was thinking Finals Day 17, I suppose, will obviously be the big highlight for you. But in terms of games at Trent Bridge over the past sort of 5 or 6 years, what are the things that stick out for you?
That last year's quarterfinal's got to be right up there to dominate a game like that, particularly with the team they had. They had Morgan and De Villiers in that side, and the way that Nashi and Hales came out and played, just dominated, absolutely dominated that attack, and that was a pretty strong attack as well. Three or four guys that have played international cricket in that attack, and for Nashi as well to come in, I think it was his first game of the year, to come in and do that was brilliant for him and a real reward for the hard work that he put in throughout the year.
What was Nashi like in the run up to that game? Because as you say, his first T20 campaign when not got ended by injury, and then he didn't get into the team up to then. So how was he around the camp?
Yeah, he was fantastic and the consummate professional, as you'd expect from someone that's been around for as long as Nashi has. He was brilliant. He went about his work as he worked as hard as anyone, and he was never, he always was around at training and helped out where he could, and then waited for everyone to have their bat and then went in and did his work. He just did it. He couldn't have been better around the group. His demeanour was always fantastic. He was always upbeat. He of course he was speaking to me privately about wanting to get into the team and trying to argue his case, I suppose, for the role that he could have been playing. Which is fantastic. That's what you want from guys that aren't in the team. You want them to be hungry and you want them to be keen as mustard to be a part of it. So it was fantastic to see him do so well when he finally got that chance. And he certainly made a point of sticking it up me after he walked off the field.
did he mention it for having not been in the team all season, and then he comes in and plays a game like that?
Yeah, of course he did. That was the first thing he said to me. He said, "There you go, mate. I've been about time you gave me the opportunity," or something along those lines. So yeah, no, it was good.
Is that something that as a captain is difficult for you to manage? There's obviously a lot of players at Notts, and only 11 can ever take to the field. There's always going to be some people who are disappointed.
Of course, and particularly when a lot of them end up becoming quite good friends, having been there for the 5 seasons that I already have, you that's the hardest part of the job, easily. And I'm sure Tev and Peter Moores and the other coaching staff would say the exact same thing. The hardest part of the job is speaking to people that have been left out. And, as you say, unfortunately, you can't fit all those guys into the 11. We did it to Nashi for most of the season. We've done it a lot to Fletch, unfortunately, Bawley, and all these guys that have had a lot of success for the team in the past. And just unfortunately, there's been times in the last 12 months where we haven't been able to fit them all in.
Now, something we've asked a few of the people on the podcast in the past few weeks has been about their sporting heroes, their sports inspirations. And I suppose, did you end up playing with a few of them in the bushfire game, some of your heroes? That looked like quite a cast list.
Yeah, that was an extraordinary day. I was extremely lucky to be a part of it. So growing up, I was born in 1983, so the early 90s cricket, they were my idols. They're the ones that I remember the most. Brian Lara, Courtney Walsh, that great West Indian team through the late 80s, early 90s, and then into the Australian 90s and 2000s team with Ponting, Hayden, Langer, Gilchrist, and into Brett Lee a little bit later. I got to play with a couple of these guys later in their career, but when they were really peaking, and obviously Sachin, Wazim Akram, and then to play this game with them last week was just extraordinary. Sitting in the dressing room afterwards was probably the most fun. They got a I got a couple of Eskies, a couple of cooler boxes, and put it in the middle of the change room, and they all just sat around and had a drink and just told stories of when they played with and against each other. So, and I was just sitting in the corner, just having the best time, not offering anything in the conversation, but just you know, pretty much in awe to be there.
Yeah, that must have been a real sort of pinch yourself moment, having grown up watching those guys.
Yeah, it was big time. I ended up sitting there. There was a rugby league player that played, Cameron Smith and Nick Riewoldt as well, who's played a lot of AFL over here. And yeah, we're all about the same age, and they were thinking the same thing. And I was sort of sitting in the corner with them, just going, "This is awesome. This is the stuff you dream about as a kid."
Were they all still as competitive as ever? From the footage I've seen, it looks like they still cared about it.
Yeah, they were for sure. I had a net session. I had a net session leading into the game. That was pretty cool as well. I got to bowl at. I was bowling at Ponting and Lara in the nets for about an hour leading into the game. And they were into me saying, "What are you doing? Why are you training for this?" And I said, I'm playing a game against all the guys that I grew up idolising. I don't want to make a fool of myself, so I want to make sure that I go okay. But yeah, bowling at them in the nets was awesome. They were playing all the shots that I grew up watching on TV. Particularly Lara. At one stage, I was at the back of the net with when I was bowling, and then walking back to my mark, and Ponting was standing there, and we were both sort of looking at each other, laughing at the shots he was playing. He could probably still be playing Test cricket now.
Now something else we've asked a few people about in the last few weeks has been what they would have done if they weren't a cricketer. If cricket hadn't been the thing for you, what would you have done? It turns out in the Notts squad, it's quite a wide spectrum of things it could have been. But if it wasn't cricket for you, what would it have been?
I played rugby league a lot as a kid, and to a reasonable standard. So I would have liked to, and I still would have liked to, at different stages, would have liked to have pursued that. But it just turned out I was better at cricket, I guess. But yeah, there were some guys I played with in my school team that went on and had pretty successful careers at rugby league. So I dare say I would have tried to go down that path. Nowadays, I'd say golf. I absolutely love my golf, and I would have tried to put, you know, all my eggs in that basket if that opportunity came up as well.
Well, we'll let you get back to the glorious-looking Australian sunshine. Thank you for joining us. And thanks for being one of the first people not to say Freddie Flintoff as the sporting hero as well. I suppose I thought it might not have been this time.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. No, I definitely wasn't going to pick a pot, that's for sure. The early mid-90s Australians for sure.
That's Dan Christian joining me from Melbourne as the all-rounder enjoys a spot of downtime ahead of the Vitality Blast. This is the Talk of Trent Bridge podcast, and earlier this week it was announced that Stuart Broad would be extending his association with Notts after the right-armer signed a 2-year contract extension. Broad spoke to me a few days ago about why he could never imagine calling another county venue his home.
I love playing for the club. I love Nottingham being my home, and every time I step on Trent Bridge, it still feels incredibly special. From, you know, 3 or 4 years old when I first stood on the cricket pitch to what I am now at 33. You know, it's a place that I love playing, I love training at, and I'm delighted to be able to sign for another 2 years, because I certainly can't ever envisage myself wearing a different badge apart from the Nottingham one.
In terms of your overall achievements, sort of internationally and at county level, where does it sit for you when you've won trophies with your sort of old club mates at Trent Bridge, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, the 2017 season is probably the one that really sticks out as a season. You know, a white ball trophy, promotion from Division 2 and the T20 stuff all in sort of Chris Reid's final season, which it was almost like the game paying Chris back for his service, really. It was very special to be a part of an amazing group of players. The timing just worked.
Pete's mentioned that when you come back into the fold that your leadership qualities play quite a big role in the setup. Is that something you're sort of aware of now as a more senior player in that Notts dressing room?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you've seen a group grow older at the club together, in the Hales, Mullaney, Fletcher, myself, Gurley, Morley, really, all seem to sign at a very similar time. Actually, I think Hales and Fletcher and myself signed on the same day. So that's always kept us really close and tight, and it's an area where Well, we certainly focused on this summer a lot because we maybe didn't lead the group as well as we could have done last year. It was a season that didn't go to plan, and when the team results struggle slightly, you're always looking for leadership to stand up, and that probably didn't happen as much as it could have done last year. So it's something that is very important to the club and something that, you know, our senior players want to push forward this year.
What are the sorts of things you can pass on to, I don't know, the likes of a Jack Blatherwick, those who are young seamers trying to make their mark now?
Yeah, I think county cricket, any cricket coming through the ranks really, it's finding what really works for you, what your, I suppose in England side we call them like super strengths, what makes you the cricketer that you are, and always looking to improve, but actually not just look at your weaknesses that you can get better at, look at what your strengths are and what makes you that and still develop those. So I think sometimes as young players we can get carried away of looking to improve everything in our game and then actually forgetting about what makes us exactly what we are and what's got us to this level so far. And there's some exciting bowlers around, you know. Blatherwick, I've admired for a few years, watching him in the Nets, and he got some good exposure at the end of last year. Jack Chappell's got some amazing attributes that will develop into a fantastic cricketer for this club, and there's many more. I think it's important to try and find out exactly what makes you a very good cricketer, what your basics are, and work on your basics very, very hard, and then you can always add the sort of exciting decorations around those basics.
That's Stuart Broad talking to me after signing a 2-year contract extension earlier this week. And that's it for this week's Talk of Trent Bridge podcast. We'll be back soon, but there's plenty more behind-the-scenes content available online at trentbridge.co.uk.